It's a great prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, we're looking at a series. What's the title of our series? And victory. The believer's authority and victory. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The believer's authority and victory. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ. Now, it's important to note that the blessings that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 1 are limited to a type of people. Ephesians chapter 1, right? They are limited to a type of people or a group of people. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word there, blessed, is the word theology. Now, when it comes to Bible language, you see, not for once is the word blessed used to speak about material things. Are you with me? The word blessed, when it comes to the writings of Jesus, the epistles, and the writers of scriptures, the word blessed is not used to speak about material things. Now, there are two Greek words used for the word blessed in the Bible. The first word is the word makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, makarios. So, makarios is the first word for the word blessed. And the second word is the word eulogy, that's E-U-L-O-G-Y, eulogy, right? Eulogy. Now, the word makarios is the word fortunate. The word makarios is the word fortunate. The word makarios is the word fortunate. And the word theology is the word that means to speak well. The word makarios is the word fortunate. And the word theology is the word that means to what? Speak well. Okay? So the word makarios and theology. How many of you know that portion of scripture where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive? You know that scripture, right? It's more blessed to give than receive. You know what people take from that scripture? It is you receive because you give. So you will get blessed because you give. You know what I'm trying to say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Right? So, why am I saying this? Because a lot of times, we pay attention to words in the Bible the wrong way. Now, I know in our world, for instance, you know, someone buys a car, someone buys a house, you say, God bless me with a car. And whilst I understand the use of those words, God bless me with a house, and all those things, you know, much more than that is to pay attention to the use of words in the Bible. And when Jesus says it, when the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, which word will fit into that narrative? Theology or Macarius? Look at the books. Look at it very well. What is Macarius? What is eulogy? Okay, so let's put Macarius. It is more Macarius to give. What is Macarius? It is more fortunate to give. Okay? Let's put speak well. It is one to speak well. It is well spoken of. It is well spoken of. So people spoke more of givers. Right? You know the Beatitudes when it says, blessed is the man, or blessed are the poor in spirit. Which word goes there?
Fortunate.
Fortunate. Right? Fortunate are you. You know what the Bible says, blessed are you, or is more blessed to give. You know, it actually just means you are fortunate to have. That's why you can give. You get that? Right? You are fortunate to have. Whilst you can say, yes, people can speak well about that, people can say good things about it, but actually, it's because you have, that's why you can give. So fortunate are you to have or to give because you have. So you give because you're fortunate. So when you go to Ephesians chapter 1, which one will replace blessed there? Fortunate be the God. Can you say fortunate is God? Can you say fortunate is God? Can you say God is fortunate? Right? So which one will you use there? Eulogy? Is that right? Right? So blessed be the God and Father. That means we speak well. Is that eulogy? So what is Paul doing? Paul is speaking well of the God and Father who what? Who blessed us? Is the second blessed, fortunate, or speak well? Is the second word fortunate or to speak well? Okay, so how do you read that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, I'm speaking well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has spoken well of us. And the speakings he has done, they are all what? Spiritual blessings, right? In regards to spiritual blessings. So if these are spiritual blessings, where did he say the spiritual blessings are?
In heaven.
If you have a good Bible, the word places is in italics, yeah. Right? So it means that the word, and when you see, when you're doing Bible interpretation and the word is in italics, a lot of times those words were added. So how will you read that? Blessed be God of all who has blessed all spiritual blessings in heaven. Where is this heaven speaking about? In Christ. So if the blessing he's speaking about is in heaven in Christ, it means the blessedness of those people that have these blessings are unique. What I mean is, this blessing is unique to a people. You can only find these blessings in Christ. Mm-hmm. So, blessed be God, Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed all the spiritual blessings. If you add your car there, and another believer who is not in Christ, another man rather, who is not in Christ, can have that car, is not part of what Paul is speaking about. You get that? Right? If another believer can have it, it's not part of what Paul is teaching about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings, right, in heaven in Christ. How do you know? Look at verse 4. It gives to explain what spiritual blessings are. Verse 4 says what? According as he has what? Chosen us. Can an unbeliever partake of that? Let me say that differently. Is an unbeliever a partaker of that? No. Can an unbeliever partake of that? Yes. Same as I've asked it differently. Right? Because an unbeliever can get born again and he comes into the chosen of the Lord. Right? So according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children of unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the what? Good pleasure of his will. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, in the last 2 weeks, I've explained what the blood is really about. We said the blood is about what? The life. You get that, right? So the blood is about, when it says the blood of Jesus was shed for your sins, right? Your attention should not go to the blood that spilled from his body when he was flogged. But your attention ought to go to the life he gives upon the resurrection. Are we together? I've taught you that before. So we have forgiveness of sins through his blood. According to the what? The riches of his grace. So when we see the riches of grace, of God's grace appear, what does he give? Spiritual blessings. In relation to verse 7, what does he give? Forgiveness of sin. So the riches of God's grace supplies that which revolves around forgiveness of sin. Are you with me? Yeah? Are you with me? You know, I've taught you before in 2 Corinthians when it says he who was poor was made rich. No, he was rich. He was rich and was made poor that we might become rich. Remember that situation, right? So God became poor. So Jesus became poor that I might be rich. Right? So if Jesus became poor, it means he was rich. His riches will be riches of his grace, right? Mercy, glory, right? So he became poor. That means he would live. Paul will now say Philippians that even though he's in the form of God, not in order to become a God, but he made himself as a servant. Okay? So he became poor so that you might be rich. So what kind of riches will you get from his poverty? It has to be the riches that is linked to the riches of His grace, His mercy, His glory, His liberality. You know, so you see a lot of believers saying, oh, I can never be poor because, when I wake up in the morning and I say I will not be poor, you know why I can say that to myself? Because I know the effort I'm putting in my life not to be poor. Upon Jesus? Yeah? But the moment I say I will never be poor because Jesus was made poor so I might be rich, and I'm thinking money, right? You know when you're passing, there's a gutter somewhere around that place, yeah? You'll find yourself there. Is that because you end up being, that's why a lot of Christians get depressed easily. A lot, not all. Because they begin to get frustrated at God and the promises their pastor told them God promised them. All together. Yeah. Your pastor says, give me a seed. I want to decree my life. In the next 7 days, seven is the number of perfection. It took God 7 days to do this. Bring what is in your hand. You see, anything that cannot meet your need, give it as a seed. You don't know how to preach those kind of things. Yeah, anything in your hand that cannot meet your need, sow it as a seed. Because a seed in the hands of God will bring. So when you are suffering, check your offering. Yeah. So anytime you want to open a church for those kind of people, you know who we coordinate the numerous service. You know, when you are suffering, you check your offering. Yes, I've asked you to give me a seed that God multiply your seed that you get rich in 7 days. Please, in 7 days, if you don't get rich, who should you be angry at? You know, it's not because the Bible says don't settle matters in court. But ideally, if you want to actually, you understand, call police for it. You understand? So a lot of people now get frustrated at God for a promise God didn't promise, but man, in trying to make you excited and happy and hopeful, promise you. Okay, so according to the riches of His grace, is according to the riches of His mercy. So when Bible says, so when we see God is a rich God, we think of God that is wealthy within the concept or confines of mercy. Now, when people hear or say these things, they think that what we mean is that God does not meet needs. I hope you know there's a difference between needs and wants. Yeah, basic economics, right? But there are things that are needed, right? You know, and I've lived with different scenarios and different people, you know, and people can be interesting, right? I told you of an instance of someone who was praying for God to meet his need, right? And I was restless in my house, not restless, so to say, but I just had that prompting in my heart to, you know, and I sent that money to that person. And that money, in that moment, the person had gone to the hospital and they had wanted to do something, treat his daughter and his wife, and he didn't have money to pay. But me, thousands of miles away, just message him for the first time, ask for his account number, say to him, that is God meeting his needs according to the riches in glory. Are we together? So did God meet his need? Yes. How? According to his riches in glory. What? How is that done? Another believer somewhere abounded to the generosity in his heart to meet that need. So did God answer his prayer? Okay. So can you pray for your needs to be met? Will God answer? Yeah. So God will answer, but his answer will only be within the jurisdiction of men. Because if I rejected to send that way, that prayer is not answered. Yeah, if I maybe start hoping for the supernatural to happen, that the doctor will say, okay, treat her for free. Do you understand? So we need to stay within the confines of scripture. What is riches to God? Now, when you understand what riches is to God, you understand the victory that he has given. So he says, in whom we have forgiveness through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Look at verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. So is there an inheritance for the believer? Yes. You see, the moment you think you're inheritance, you know, some people come to a country like this, for example, say, in this country, in this UK, I take possession of my inheritance of the city. Right? Good confession. Yeah, good confession. But you know that when the Bible teaches inheritance, it's nothing material. Nothing material. And that's why we would end up keep having people who are believers, fire-branded, tongue-speaking, demon-casting believers, poor. You know why? Because men are involved in the activities of this earth. All together. Yeah? Men are involved. Think about where covetousness started. Imagine the earth that was made by God, and the number of men on the earth were few. And even at that, people were still killing themselves. So it means that when you think of the earth in the real sense, when you think of the authority or the future of the believer, you must think supernatural. Yeah? So you can read the Bible and say, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. I have my inheritance. You know, and Psalm to tell you, there's a popular scripture that we use in Psalm, I think we used it a few weeks ago. The lot of the believer. Psalm 2. Is this Psalm 2, right?
The chief
cornerstone. No, that's Psalm 118. Psalm. No, it's not Psalm 2. It's one of those scriptures where. Okay, Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. You know, covetousness is a slant by which we read the Bible. Are you here? Covetousness is a slant by which we read the Bible. If you look at Psalm 2, right? Ask of me. How many of you have message translation here? Message translation? Okay. Who has message translation here? Read it for me quickly. Psalm 2, verse 8. The one that says birthday. Is it message or amplified? Beautiful. That's
he said, you're my son, and today's your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a present, continents as a prize. You can command them also to dance for you. We'll throw them out with tomorrow's trash.
Lovely. 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 You know, that's the message translation. Right? And, you know, people use that scripture for so many things. Right? Let me tell you, my son, what do you want? List it. Nations. And I always say, if God gives you all the nations, what will he give me? Do you understand? If he give me all, what will you collect? Do you understand? So they made that scripture, because of, see, the interpreters of that scripture, in that translation, there's a slant of heart they have, or they had. And underneath this is the foundation of covetousness. Except that it's not, let me say that. When people read that, their translation, I need you to ask for people to ask for things. It's covetousness. You understand? Today is your birthday. I know where they gave it to me. Today is not July. Right? So the birthday there has to be in context. So look at what that context says. It says, ask of me and I shall give you the heathen for the inheritance. How many of you have heard the riches of the Gentiles? You've heard that teaching, right? That Christians will inherit the what? The riches of the Gentiles. So you see some Christians say that all these unbelievers are working, let them keep working hard. As their money is piling up, one day the God will just transfer it to my account. You know, we joke a lot in this Christian faith. Right? Let me ask you a question. If you are laboring and working hard, all of a sudden money leaves your account like that. And the description on your account now says to be shared for believers. To be shared for believers. Yeah, they just move £1 million from your account, and the scripture says to be shared for believers worldwide. How will you feel? You see, you call police, a believer. Yeah? So you will call police. You now say the riches of Gentiles is the money of unbelievers that you inherit because we are in Christ. No. And I've taught you before, when the Bible teaches about the riches of the Gentiles, it's actually to pay attention to the riches of God seeing men as his riches. So it means that God through his riches will bring men by his mercy and become an inheritance in his kingdom. I've taught that extensively. He says, I will give the nation of Israel as thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth as thy possession. So when you think about this, who is this about? Go back to verse 7. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, today have I what? Begotten thee. Who is that about? Jesus Christ. So who is the one that will inherit nations and inherit the uttermost part of the earth? That is fundamentally Jesus, and the believer can only be found to the degree he finds himself in Christ. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 1 now says we have an inheritance, okay? We have an inheritance through we have an inheritance. What did it say again? It says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And that says, in whom we have trusted, ye have heard the word of truth. Now, if you look through verse 19 or verse 17, and I cease not to pray for you, verse 16, making mention of you in my prayer, I cease not to give thanks of you, rather, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom And we said the spirit of wisdom there is actually what we call genitive of opposition, wisdom of the spirit, that is to say revelation in the knowledge of him. What it means is the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding riches of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in the heavenly, by fire, both his mighty power, mighty dominion, every name that lived not only in this world, but that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet, and he gave him to the head of all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if you look through that scripture, you actually realize that there is something about the Spirit of God that God has given to man, and that's a seal and trophy of the victory. Okay? It says, in whom when we trusted, we received the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, the Spirit of God to man is a trophy of God's victory that God has placed as a seal in the heart of man. So every believer that has received of the message of the gospel is one who has received of the indwelling of the Spirit, and it means he has a seal of victory. Right? It means he has a seal of victory. He has a seal. So last Wednesday, I was able to show you through scriptures, Hebrews chapter 5, right? And we said that God saves to the uttermost, right? Bible says he's the author of what? Eternal salvation. You see, God cannot be the author of eternal salvation, and the salvation a man receives from God is temporary. Are we together? You don't understand the nature or state of your salvation by who you are. You understand the state of your salvation by who he is. Who is the person that gave you that gift of salvation? So salvation is a gift given by an eternal God. So if an eternal God will give an eternal gift, or a gift at all, the gift has got to be eternal. Right, so on Wednesday, I put you through that Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 7, Ephesians 9, Ephesians 10. Right, took me through all those scriptures to show you that a man that is born again is saved forever. Are we together? Right, the day I find out that a man born again is not saved forever, there's no point of me preaching. It's ridiculous. There's no point. The day I find out that salvation is not eternal, I will need to stop going for evangelism. Because what am I now going to go and say to people when you're doing evangelism? Get saved, but you know you have to live a very holy life, a righteous life to maintain your salvation. What's the point? Because, see, more you put that burden on someone, that life is a more difficult life to live than the life you were living before. Think you're trying to say, right? Somebody's living their normal life, doing anything they want to do. They're not telling them, come and receive salvation. But to maintain that salvation you receive, you have to start living a kind of life. Right? So let me just continue living the normal life I am living without this kind of life. Maybe God help me. You know, some people feel like we were the last day when the prophet just blew, they just quickly ask God for mercy. People are funny. And I always tell you, you know, some of my friends who reach out to me and ask me a question, what do you think about this? I've stopped watching all those unnecessary videos. Somebody's telling me, somebody reached out to me, I was telling me, that's what you're saying, that a man is born again, and he sins are forgiven, but he's not fully justified until he has God for mercy. And I'm like, okay, brilliant thoughts, brilliant choice of words. You know, so if you think that, you know, people now ask those kind of questions, you know, I remember I used to ask this question about a decade ago, definitely. You see, if you are doing something bad and trumpet your sound, where will you find yourself? Some of us have that approach. I would just feel like, see, if you can know when the trumpet will sound, for instance, and when your life or no one wants to live life or whatever, yeah, you can live a careless life. And anytime you just feel the have a feeling of death, just dedicate your life. Yeah, I just continue living anywhere you want to live. You know, when you look through scriptures, the sound, see, God could not have started a journey from the beginning to end up as a temporal effect of the temporal effect. There is no born-again person who has lost or will lose his salvation. The only way it can happen is you were never born again. Are we together? Right? That's the assurance we have from the pages of scripture. So that's why we call it believer's victory. We can't teach believer's victory as a temporary thing, something that happens up until a point, then it stops happening. No, it's eternal. So every believer brags and boasts about an eternal fact, which is they are saved eternally. Say, I'm saved. Say, I'm saved. Say, I'm saved. No, you're not talking like you mean it. Say, I'm saved. And I'm saved eternally. Say, I'm saved. And I'm saved eternally. So, we've gone through scriptures to see that on Wednesday. Remember what Micah says about God? What does God do with sins? Wednesday's teaching. What does God do with sin? Before then, what does he do before the thing? We said, Moses will say there's a God who visits iniquity. Does God visit iniquity? Yeah. So how does God visit iniquity? By taking care of iniquity. Right? So what did Micah say? Who is a God like unto thee that pardonates iniquity? Are you with me? So does God pardon iniquity? What does pardon mean? It takes care. Remember on Wednesday, I talked about forgiveness of sin. See, forgiveness of sin is not that you do something bad, then you ask God for mercy, then God will now say, okay, I pardon you. No. Right? Forgiveness of sins that the blood of Jesus offers is a separation of man from sin. So you say your sins are forgiven. It's not you offend me today. I say, I'm sorry, I say, I forgive you. No. It is God separates sin from man. That's what we call forgiveness of sins. Are we together? And I told you I owe you a full series on that in a couple in the next coming years. Right? Forgiveness of sins is a separation of man from sin. And the repercussion for that. So we see Jesus do that and sort that out by the cross. So what did Micah say? He says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth sin? How does God pardon sin? What did Micah say? Micah says that God takes the sins of man and throws into the depth of the sea. Are we together? And I told you in their world, the heavens, the sky, and the depth of water, they didn't have as much technology to go into the water. You know, today you have rooms that are inside, we have a room 10 feet below the water, whatever number it is. Right? But in their world, when you see water and they think of depth of water, they think of the place that man can't get to. When they see the sky, they didn't have plane. They think of a place where man can't get to. So when Micah will say, God deals with sins and throws sins into the depth of the sea, he's saying that when God separates man from sin, God puts the sin of man in a place where man cannot touch or alter. Micah 7:14. Right? So God puts the sin in a place where, so man cannot undo it. So when you see depth of sin, don't think literal. It's figurative. So he's trying to say that when God deals with sins, he deals with sin in such a way that man cannot touch it, cannot tamper with it, cannot do anything about it. So God separates man from sin, and that's what we call forgiveness of sin. And that is the victory that God gives to a believer. So there is no believer that is not victorious. Hallelujah. There is no believer that is not victorious. But we have believers live a kind of life that is other than victory. We're together. And I'll tell you why today. Go all the way to Mark 11. Today, I want to pay attention to what you say. Mark chapter 11. What you say. Mark 11, 24. Right? Mark 11, 24. Look at verse 23, Mark 11, 23 or 22. Do you remember? So if you read before the narrative, you see that what happened was that Jesus had what? Spoken to a fig tree. Are you with me? Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Is that your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah? Then what now happens when they were coming? Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. Verse 21. And Peter called to remembrance of Jesus, saying, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed. So, when did the word curse become introduced in that narrative? When Peter was reporting the incident. Okay? So, he says, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. What was Jesus' answer? See what Jesus used to teach them. He says in verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. You know, some translations of people will say, have the God kind of faith, right? So have faith in God. Now look at 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. See, were they talking about mountains or tree? Tree. So we're talking about tree. then Jesus will figuratively use mountains to talk about something like tree and other things. That means it will speak about things that seem to be very impossible. Is that true? Right? So he says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever thou shalt say unto, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart. So what is Jesus teaching? Faith? Doubt. But shall believe that those things which thou sayest. Now, I want us to count the number of times the word say is in that verse. Are you there? Let's do it together. From verse 23, 1, 2, 3, go. For verily I say, one, unto you, that whatsoever thou shalt say, whosoever shall say this morning, rather, be thou what? Removed, and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in that those things which he what? Says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he what? He says. So what is Jesus teaching? That a man can have what he says. Are you with me? You see, what Jesus is teaching here particularly is the use of words. That a man can. So Jesus says, if you can say to this mountain, be ye removed and be cast into the sea. Where should your attention not as much be? To be going all around the mountain. Imagine everybody does this faith to go and carry on the mountain everywhere in the world. Yeah, you go to five sisters, carry five of them, you just threw them inside the sea. Say, no. What is teaching much more? So it's not really as much aligning your attention to be on the fig tree, but on your approach to circumstances. How did this start? He says, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Right? He says, whosoever shall say. Now look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. So what is he teaching? Faith believing in desires. Faith believing in desires. Faith believing. So your attention must be on faith. Your attention must be on believing. And by extension, your attention must be on the saying he's talking about. So it means that we don't go through our life's challenges or our life's day-to-day activities without saying. Are you here? You don't go through your life's activities and day-to-day activities without saying. You must be a saying believer. You are a talking believer. Because God is a talking God. All the way from Genesis, you see, and God said, let there be, and God said. You see, that's a template to show you that things are framed. We'll look at that in Hebrews 1 shortly. All together. So it means that the Bible is heavy on saying. Dear saints, I put it to you, what are you saying? Right, look at Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Bible is heavy on saying. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said. So God says something. What did he say? I will never what? Leave thee nor forsake thee. So who said that? God. What did he now say in verse 6? So that we may boldly say. So what is our response to the saying of God? We boldly say. So when we see God speak, it is for us to respond with speaking. Because we navigate the course of our lives by words. That we may boldly say. So if God says, I've forgiven you your sins, what do you say? You say it boldly, my sins are forgiven. If the Bible tells you, for instance, that the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is so that you may boldly say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If the Bible teaches you that you are redeemed, what do you say? I am redeemed. So you are being taught your sins are forgiven, you are redeemed. So you can boldly say, you are redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. Say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm holy. Say, I'm blameless. So it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When Hebrews 13, go back to Hebrews 11. Let me show you something in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 1. This is a scripture we use a lot of times. Right? Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 3. Let's have a quick read. The Bible says, now faith. Amen? Yeah. Are you in Hebrews 11? Yeah. Now faith is the what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by now, the word their faith actually speaks more about having faith in his faithfulness, right? You know, I spoke about how faith can be both for believing in the narrative of scripture, depending on the context, and also faithfulness. But much more than that is to see faith as having a sense of belief in his faithfulness. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for by it, right? For by it were what? The elders obtained a what? Good report. Through faith. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So how did God frame the world? How did God frame the world? Okay, so go back first. Before you go to saying, what was there first? Okay, hold on. So it says, through faith we understand. So we are, so we have a, so our faith lets us see that the world was framed by God. Okay, right? And how did God frame the world? By saying, let us, let there be. And God said, so how do you, so if God now lives on your inside, how does God expect you to frame your world? By saying, you see what I say? You can't afford to be a believer that does not speak. Altogether, you can't afford to be a believer that cannot speak. So God will frame the world by his words. We frame our world by the words of God on our lips. Are you with me? Because if I say we frame our world by our words, that's ambiguous, because our words can cover so many things. You get that, right? Yeah? Our words can cover so many things. But we say we frame our world by the words that are God's words, or we frame our world by God's words on our lips, and they are safe there. See, Bible will tell you, for you know, in the narrative of what scripture I'm looking to my right now, the scripture that speaks about just keep my mind, I'll come back to it. Right? So we got to put the words of God on our lips. So if you want the word of God to be on your lips, where do you have to put the word of God first? In your heart. Before it. So when I say mind what you say, what am I saying fundamentally? Mind what you get into your heart. So how do things get into your heart? Your eyes? Your ears? Fundamentally. So if I'm saying mind your words, it means I'm saying mind your heart, that is to say, mind what you see and what you hear. Are you listening? Yeah. So we need to be very deliberate about words. Let me tell you something. Words are so important. Words are so important. You know, scripture says we shall give account of every word that proceeds out of our mouth. It means we need to take responsibility for the words and the things we say. Words are so important. You know, words can create war. Imagine one of your friends just come and meet you and just come and say, Brother John, I didn't know Sister Abami was your friend. I wanted to tell you something, but don't worry. Because if I tell you, it will scatter your relationship. What have I done? I've told you much more than what you should have said. Words. And you go. You know, sometimes in my house, for instance, right? That if I want to just put her on her toes, I'll just tell her, right, when you come home, I'll tell you. There's something I want to tell you, I won't say voice notes. Right? I've used my words to determine our perspective to our day. So words are so important. You can't afford to just joke around with words. You can't afford to just, you know, we underestimate the power of words. Let me show you something in James 3. I'm going to teach for a little longer today, so get your hearts ready. Yeah? James 3:1. You know, there are people who have lost. You know, I heard of a man called, a popular man called Michael Jackson. Right? And I heard he had to do some surgeries before the last part of his life and all those things. And when you watch the interview he had with people and everything, you know, you find out that it was because words were spoken to him that he stopped finding safety in what he looked like. I think it was about his nose. He did nose surgery. And he later said that words were spoken to him that they always insulted that his nose was different from the other family members. I think his nose, I can't remember whatever the story was. But that's how words are. You know, someone can kill themselves because of what's spoken to them. The words you speak are super powerful. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Look at James 3. Let me show you James 3:1. My brethren, be not masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater. Be not many masters, rather, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Look at verse 2. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is the word, perfect man. And able also to brittle the whole body. So he's saying, if you can tame your tongue, you can brittle your whole body. Listen to the example he shows you next. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bit in the horse's mouth. You know what a bit is, right? How many of you have climbed a horse before? Okay? You've climbed a horse before, right? And they give you something to hold. Do you know where that rope is connected to? The mouth. James uses that. So it's not today they started putting rope inside horse mouth. See what James says. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. You know, it is your movement of that rope that determines the direction the horse will go. It looks important. So, what is the, if you put that rope on the scale and put the horse on the scale, which is heavier? The horse. So, what is James teaching? That you see that very minute thing is responsible for the movement of this heavy thing. What is teaching? What? Okay? Let's see what it now says. It says, behold also the sheep, right? Which though they will be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are torn with a very what? Small head. So what regulates the direction of a sheep is something minute, something small. What did he say? Whither so the governor listeneth. What does he say in verse 5? 1, 2, 3, go. Even so, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boosted great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So what is tongue here to teach? Literal tongue or words? It has to be words now. Do you understand? So it is tongues, but what is using tongues to teach is words that the tongue will produce. Altogether. So you think of your tongue as a minor thing, right? You see, and the tongue is, look at verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defiled the whole body and set it on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly what? Poison. So, in the real sense, what is he saying? The tongue in and out of itself will only function to the degree in which the owner of the tongue uses it. Are you with me? So, your tongue functions to the degree in which you use it. It doesn't function on its own. Your tongue does not have to go and say, I want to insult people. So, you can determine to use your tongue to insult, and you can determine to use your tongue to say good things. Altogether. So, if you read into chapter 3 to the 4, in Acts chapter 4, so that's where, you know, the Bible says, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Right? And I've taught you before, that's not about prayer. Right? Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss and because of upon your lust. Right? So, it's teaching about the conduct of the believer generally. See, words are super important. I'll give you an instance. And you parents, you need to ask, both parents and our parents now, parents who are, people will be parents eventually. You need to be careful the words you allow around your kids. The words you say to them. Your child comes back from school. They came back 13th position. You see how many are they? You said they were 13 in the class. Right? And there's a Greek word in the Greek. It's called olodo. Right? You slap your son's head. You say, big head for nothing. Say, big head for nothing. Olodo. And some of us don't even have songs for those children. They are listening to you. They are listening to you. Your child does something, plate falls in the house, you say you don't have brain. When you give birth to a child, you say he doesn't have brain because plate fell down. He doesn't have empty head. As people say with so much passion, some of us are products of those upbringings. Your parents insulted you at the slack. And you would have thought that only their eye is enough. They will still say something. They will still talk, they will still land with something. You know, you say, so many insults. Your child comes up from school and doesn't do well in school. And saying big head, big for nothing. Are you supposed to, if you really truly knew he was big for nothing, you should be patient with him. You get it? Yeah? Your mates that are getting fed, they have three heads. I know some of us in our parents were always first in their class. Until you see their classmates. Go and check my record. My record stood out in the school. All of them, I say the same to their children. My record stood out in the school. But don't do that, don't go to school. My record stood out in the school. You'll be lying just to intimidate your children. When I was in school, I was serious. I won't tell my children that. You know, see, when I was in primary school, into secondary school, in my first half of my secondary school, I was a very careless human being. The only award I used to get was Neatest Boy. Every spot, Neatest Boy. My sister, my brother, first position in their class, and they used to take first half of 100, almost 120 people. First. You know, because we have 5 arms, 25 in the class, and they will come out first in their amongst 120 people. And me too. You don't want to know my number. So they will do speech and prize giving day. You know, every week they used to give us crown. I still have some of my pictures. They will write crown. So I wear that crown throughout the week or the day. So they usually go around there. So in the entire school, so you have 100 and some people in 6 classes. That's like almost, let's say, 1,000 people. And Neatest Boy was me. They'll give me that crown, carry it. I'll get home. When speech and prize giving day, my brother will bring gift, first position. My sister will bring gift, first position. My brother will say, yeah. And Neatest said, Daddy, what did they give me? And catch it. So they used to give me. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Right? my siblings would take back. They will grab a catchy for me inside the event funny nylon. I think I'll take it. You know, and my life continued that way until I got to GS3. I can never forget it in my life. I didn't grow up in an environment, my parents didn't insult me, never insulted me. But my mom did something. She called me one day and she spoke to me. GS3. Right? And she said, she spoke to me and said, just some words, and she just said, you know you are better, you know you can be more serious than this, you know you can be more, you know, committed. She just spoke to me. And this is one of my oldest friends here sitting there. I'll talk about him after, you know, and we were classmates through from GS1 all the way to university. And from SS1, me that used to take 10th, 15th, 19th, I don't know how many we were, I can't remember how many we were in class, no, we're not up to 19, you know. And all of a sudden, I switched to SS1. And the first semester, I think I was first or something like that in SS1. Before you know it, my mom started encouraging me to write WAEC from SS1. So I didn't complete school, really, secondary school, because I finished SS1, wrote my, from SS1, I stopped attending school. In fact, my biology teacher was one of the most interesting agri teacher in the world, you know, so I didn't used to like those subjects. But from that moment, I remember a teacher of mine called me, right, and said to me and, you know, myself and some of my friends, and said, because I started the conversation of leaving school in SS1. So I wrote GCE, SS1 thereabout, and did SS2, and I left the school. But a teacher called her and said, you think university is play? You remember that now? You think university is play? Like, you think university is play? Hey, it's failure ahead. I kind of want of assurance. So that's why as parents, you need to be intentional in the house. You know what the children are hearing in the school? Can I forget the man's name? You know that man? I don't know. There's failure ahead, you know, people they won't have repeated the spirit 3 times, they still go and fail in 100 level. You know? And I'm thankful I did not allow that to discourage me. What? Went to the university. Finished university. Praise God. Right? So words are super, super important. You can't joke with it. You can't afford to be joking with words. You can't afford to, you know, just make your life useless with your words that are useless. Let me show you something in Proverbs 18, 20, 20. It shall not be well with you. People grew up in those settings. Not people grew up, people are growing up in those settings. You know, it can be as basic as when a child does well, say that's the father's child. When the child does not do well, say that's the mother's child. You've said something without saying. Anything successful is for the father. Anything unsuccessful is for the mother. You've said a lot. I know there are women by default, they have that slant in their approach to their life, to their day-to-day activities. Because there's a subconscious attitude they now have. After all, we don't have anything to say. We don't have anything to offer. Words. Look at Proverbs 18. What verse did I tell you? Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Is that your Bible?
Yeah.
And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Look at 21. Death and life are what? And the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, let me just touch 22. And we were looking there. Whosoever finds a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Now, that's a very interesting narrative. Let me give you a summary of what that really means. That scripture is not saying you don't obtain favor from God without finding a wife. That scripture is not saying that when you find a wife, you obtain favor. No, that's what it's teaching there. Right? That's what it's teaching. Some people, when they find a wife, they're looking for favor. It's nice they will find. Yeah? And that's just life. You understand? So to say you obtain favor from God, some people say that, no, you cannot fool. You know, some people don't listen. I was telling to the leaders over the weekend, I said, there are people who have told me to my face that they cannot listen to what I say until I'm married. Yeah? Because we've learned or we grew up learning that God cannot use a man until he has given him a help me to support him. But that would be wrong of Paul. That would be wrong of Jesus. Altogether. And so many others we can list. You know, so what is teaching there is not saying find a wife so you can obtain favor on the Lord. No. The people is when you find them, that your bank account will close. Right? And things will start going down. Yeah. So people, when you find them, they support you. But two, it needs two to work for it to work. What he's just teaching there is find a wife. It is a good thing. Right? It is acceptable. So obtain favor there doesn't mean God now gives you a kind of favor because you have a wife. No. It is something that is acceptable of God. Yeah. It's a template that God has made acceptable, right? When people find themselves, whether a man find you or a woman find you, it's up to you. Yeah, just be found. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, that they that love thee shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at some. Proverbs 23, two chapters after. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Are you there? Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, is that your Bible?
Yeah.
So is he. Eat and drink, said he to the... You know, a lot of us don't know the next part of that verse. We just know the Bible says as a man thinks in his heart. So the pastor will not tell you, be thinking of yourself in big mansion. Or as you think, so are you. You better know who you are. And when you think, finish thinking, remember who you are. Right? So he says, for as a thinking is wise. Now let me explain that to you. Who has NIV? Sister JT, you have an NIV translation, right? Can you please read that translation for us? Read from verse 6 into verse 7. And you see how it will make sense to us. Does that make that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make clear to you? Mm-hmm. Some of us are like that. You know, when you go to somebody, you go to your friends and say, come and join me. The mistake you make is go and carry spoon. When you go to somebody's and they are eating. Brother, I'm not eating alone. No. And when you came from the kitchen to the bridge, you brought one spoon. You say, come and join me. You came with one spoon. You know, so when they say, come and join me, they are not saying, come and join me. And a lot of times they are waiting for you to say, no, it's fine. Until you find your match. You find your match. They come and join me. Say, please, where is the spoon? Right? That's what Proverbs is teaching. Because they are thinking of, you know, the only reason why you would think that someone should not join you is because you think maybe you spent your last card, or you think like you don't have so much money to do a lot of things, or you think, you know, you want to, you know, for so many reasons. So Bible is teaching that. Don't eat the food of a, what did they call the kind of man? Sister, what do you call the name of the man? Begrudging, right? Look at what King James says. It says, eat thou not the bread of him that had an evil eye, nor desired his meat. For as he thinketh in his heart. So he'll be saying eat and drink, but it doesn't mean eat and drink. Are you following? I just took it there to just show you, you know, those scriptures around as a man thinks in his heart. So it's not necessarily, it's not teaching that as you think in your heart, so are you. For the believer, it is as God thinks of you. Are you together? Right? It's as God. So what you think about is what God thinks about you. That's who you are. Yeah. But Proverbs 26 to teach, you know, something else. So you would realize that if you go back to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, first one. We'll come back to Proverbs very shortly. We'll go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. So it says, through faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So we have faith to understand that the worlds were framed by the word, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it's important to see that Jesus was intentional with words. So the same way Jesus was intentional with words is the same way we need and ought to be intentional with words. How do you look at 1 Peter 2:21? 1 Peter 2:21. First Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that you should follow his steps. Let's read verse 22 together. First Peter 1, 22. 1, 2, 3, go. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. That means Jesus was intentional about his words. Is that true?
Yeah.
Jesus was intentional about his words. So if Jesus was intentional about his words, it means we need to be intentional about our words. You know, you can make up your mind not to talk in anger. You know, you can make up your mind not to use careless words. You know, you can. You know, you can. You know, you can. You can be very intentional. You can be that deliberate. You know why? Words are under your control. Words are under your control. You can make up your mind. You can be intentional about your mind. You know, you can be very deliberate. Are we together? Are we together? So, God, you see, will frame the words by his word. Jesus will see. Will find, you know that Jesus was talking all through his journey to the resurrection. Yeah, Psalm 22, read Psalm 22, Psalm 23. He put the word of God on his lips. You will not leave your only one. You will not allow your only one to suffer corruption. Do you understand? He had those words on the lips. What words do you have in your lips? It means that for Jesus to have had those words on his lips, it means that he had them first in his heart. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Look at verse 20. Proverbs 4, 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. I was getting, so what should you hide in the midst of your heart? And verse 20 now. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Yeah? So what should you hide in your heart? What am I hiding in my heart that I may sin not against you? Yeah? So what do you hide in your heart? The word of God. Look at verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and they are held unto all flesh. Let's read verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, what is that teaching you? You need to be careful of your thoughts or the things that get into your heart, because that will determine the things you say. Now, please write this in your notes. You cannot tackle bad thoughts with good thoughts. You cannot tackle bad thoughts with good thoughts. Write that in your notes. You cannot battle bad thoughts with good thoughts. You battle bad thoughts with good words or God's word. Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to be careful. And now, in this generation, let me pay attention to this a little. You can't afford to feed your eyes, your heart, your heart with your eyes and ears through every and anything. Please be careful about it. See, there are some of you, before your life starts taking a new trajectory that will be probably something you look forward to, you might need to delete some apps on your phone. You might need to, you know, in our world now, very few people can stay away from their phones for 3 hours. And you're not the president. You understand? You cannot afford to always be feeding your heart. That's why I always change belief. I say, they came to press me in the night. Why would they press you? Yeah. I'm going to pay attention to this next week. So, you know, some of us cannot pray in English again. You know? Some of us can't pray in English again. They say, come and pray for us in English with two seconds. And before you know it, what the abroad teacher called that. So we started using tongues to replace the place of using words to speak. Why? Because all you know is Jesus went. All you know is John 11:35. And they are shouting, the word have I hid in my heart. The word, and devil is looking at you. The word have I hid in my heart. All you know is Jesus went. If I ask you, give me 3-4 memory verses or verses you put in your. You know, when we're growing up, for those of you who are parents who paid attention to memory verses, do it for our kids, though. It's good, important, but make sure that whatever memory verse you give them, you understood the context. Yeah? But I grew up reciting memory verse, morning prayer, memory verse, evening prayer, memory verse. We knew how to quote a lot of memory verse. Very important. Don't relegate it away. If something happens to your child, can you actually speak words over your child for 10 minutes non-stop? You know, you cannot give what you don't have. It's what you, it's garbage in, garbage out. When everything you watch is kids, when everything you watch is makeup, when everything you watch is food, when everything you watch is whatever you watch. See, you know, I always tell you, when life starts throwing its challenges at you, it will not give you time to prepare. Jesus, we look at Jesus' story. He was on the boat. It's not when the storm started raging, started learning Bible. Bible will tell you in Proverbs, we'll get there as well. If your strength fails you, the day of adversity, you didn't have any strength. Yeah. You know, so when we say mind the things you see, it is we are saying first mind the things you hear. Control the things you hear. And I've been intentional about that. In our world, I know we cut people off a lot, you know, but you don't have to block people, cut people because you want to guard your heart. No. There are other things you can do. You can stay away from social media. You can mute conversations. People who are bringing. In fact, a friend of mine shared a video with me last week. And I think there was a woman who was trending on social media about she went to heaven and she was crying with her boss or something like that. And he shared the video to me 20 minutes. And I checked the first 30 seconds and I closed the app and I messaged him. He said, friend, he said, okay, leave me a pastor. I said, I'm sorry, I don't watch this. I don't watch it. What's it about? You went to heaven. Okay, I know what the Bible teaches about it. So why do I need to feed my 20 minutes of my day to watch the story of somebody that just decided to wake up and sleep and wake up again? Some of you can sit down and watch Sister Linda. People that went to heaven and some people that were in hellfire because of hearing, because of this thing. And they say, hey, this word, I knew it. I knew it. I just knew there was. See, the devil has his game. And when the devil plays his game, he plays a long time game. If people can see beyond the long, beyond their nose as believers, and just pay attention to a war that is outside of, that is ahead of you. So you can't afford to be every you know every news, you know every trending news, you know every trending that, you know everything that's trending, you know everything that, everything trending, you are there. But the world, you don't feel you are. Let me tell you something, you are a serious believer. You spend more time outside the world than in the world. Please write that in your note and put that stairs. Put that stairs and write it in your note and repeat it again. It's not a mistake, it came out. You are a serious believer when you spend more time outside the world than in the world. Yeah. Very, 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 very important. See, spend time with the Word. Let your atmosphere be filled with the Word. Don't always be on Instagram. Don't always be on Facebook. Don't always be on TikTok. Don't always be on Twitter. It is from those things that the devil is poisoning your heart, poisoning your mind. One day the storm rages. You forget that you're a man of joy. Why? Because they've shown you stories of how people approach life. They've shown you stories of how lot of unnecessary interesting things that happen. Mind you, I'm not saying don't have a life outside of the Christian faith. I'm not saying that. But you can't afford to build a life. You say you're a Christian. In a week, you cannot listen to one message. In a week, you cannot listen to a message. No, I'm serious. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I'm serious. You know what? One message is 1 hour, 30 minutes. How many hours do you have in a week? 168 hours in a week. Some of you, the sleep you slept in your life now, you don't. If you don't sleep for the next 40 years, you are okay. Because you slept in low. You slept in low. You don't sleep again. Something happened. You know, can't you be? You know, there's some things that will happen to you. And your first response says about a lot about your heart. Like I said last week, when every small thing fear, something falls from the kitchen, yes, it shows what you fed your heart. You've watched horror movies, you've watched movies, they've told you something. They said there's a man in your area that is breaking up. You are hearing these things. And you cannot pick 1 hour, 30 minutes message in a week. Except they give you an assignment and push you to the wall and say you must. When you see churches giving their members assignment, a lot of times it's to help them grow. It's not because the church wants to. No, it's for your sake. You have a website in our world today. You have messages every Sunday. We have a website, you just say, Pastor, just finish what they are saying when you are finished. You will not hear the word. Even someone who can even join Wednesday service, you will not hear the word this Sunday. It's not a curse. Everybody will have storm come around them. It's not a curse. You will have that mountain you need to speak to. You will. You know why anytime you feel a pain in your head, you first check online. What does it mean when your eye is twitching? When your eye is twitching at the left hand of the body, the first thing you just see, they show you stroke. And you are, what have you done? What have you done? You have done diagnosis for yourself. And that's not saying don't pay attention to signs in your body. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you literally just woke up and maybe it was even because you slept on the hand. What does it happen when your hand is stiff and your left eye is twitching? You feel a little. Then they now ask me in the comment. They say, "Do you feel migraine?" Migraine, you're not feeling before. All of a sudden, we just come. And they say anything that has to do with migraine, twitching of eye, left body parts close to the heart, partial stroke. You know, people die out of fear a lot of times. Someone said something. I can't remember what that is. You know, the fact that a lot of people die in plane crash before the plane touches the ground. I'm sure they would have found out that information from Black Box, all of that. What do you feed your heart with? What do you give your thoughts to? What do you actually listen to? If someone I'm discipling one way or the other in the US as well, and she messaged me a couple weeks ago and she was like, sent a voice note lamenting. Why would somebody say this kind of thing? He said, "Well, Pastor, what's your thought?" I didn't even finish this in your own voice. Now, I'm not going to listen to what is making this agitated. Who wants energy? I don't really have time for that. Then I said, you know what? You need to start muting some people. So, what happened was somebody said something. Another person responded to the person. She was not listening to the second person responded. And she doesn't know two of them all online. They don't know her. She doesn't know them. That's from afar. Yeah. I just get yourself walked up. I said, no, don't bother sending these things to me. I don't listen to things like this. You can be that intentional. That's why we stay for this. Any comedian that mocks the things of the spirit, that's the last time I watch you. Hey, Pastor Joshua is accurate. He gives what I'm not because I guide my heart to. There are some comedy skits that are against the things of the spirit. Once you laugh, your heart is better going down. It's just by default. Your heart by default doesn't exalt those things again. So you need to be very, very intentional. I don't care if you say I'm out of scope. You know all the hashtag, you know, and for those of you who are content creators, you need to be extremely careful. Because content creation is a way the devil has programmed to take your time. You cook Monday, you video it, you record it, you post it. You cook Tuesday, you video it, you video it, you record it, you post it. You do it on Friday, every day. And for a week, you can't spend 2 hours in the world. You can't spend 1 hour in the world. You don't pray. Just when you're just about to enter the bus, you just sprinkle a little tongues. I just go and sit down. And you continue from where you stopped. I say, you pray for that. I pray daily. What happens to having a headset listening to your word, to message? I put that as a culture in my house, in my home, in my car. Anytime I'm going anywhere, listening to the word. Either the words I've taught, either I'm just listening to the word, trying to fill my heart with words. That's why when they ask you to do tongues interpretation, you don't have too much to say. Because you don't say rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. For the days are clear, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Hey, it's good to start in rejoice, rejoice. The days are clear. But don't be there for 3 years. You know some people, when if writers give tongues interpretation, when you give them mic, you can know their interpretation already. It's as simple. You've not fed your heart enough. You know more of the comedian's name. You know all their names. You know all their profile. You know all their pages. You know everything, but you know the word. It's simple. It's simple. May it not be the day that the storm rages. You are trying to look for the Bible. Hey, it's Proverbs 3. May not be that day. You know, you can be that you have a neighbor, you have a partner, you have your husband, sorry, your wife or whoever, whatever, husband and wife only. You know, and husband and married wife, and wife and married husband. Opposite sex, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying everything can work. You know, husband and married woman and married man. So I'm saying, you see, so your husband wakes up and says, I'm not feeling so okay. You know, you can speak the word. Your body restores back to normal. Your vitals are back to normal. You know, you can actually place God's word so much on your lips, on your heart, rather than that. It's the first thing that you respond to. First thing that you respond to. If somebody does something to you, you see a lot of us, you know, from part of the world where I come from, when you're driving, people drive ridiculously. They're driving somebody. Straight his own hand and tell you, say your papa, your mama, if you respond. In fact, your AC is warmed up. Oh, I tell you how your heart has gone. Your AC is warmed up. Nobody's hearing you except you. And you're insulting his lineage. And even, you know, you can, you know, there's sometimes you insult that maybe the first time you call yourself to order, you don't call yourself to order, you give 10 insults. Say, so you're not ending with the rubbish. Only in your car. You see, that person, they say, people get at. You just get yourself a necessary health issue. I made it a custom almost 10 years ago when I started driving. My people that know, that follow me know, when you drive rubbish beside me, you know that kind of thing, when somebody drives rubbish in front of you and you want to overtake them, now overtake them, looking like them. And I can see your drive. I don't do that. I'm using AC. Why am I looking at you? Why am I getting myself worked up? So now, after, what do I do? I just remember saying, I'm born again. I heard of a story of a man who they abused him at the bus stop. And he told the bus conductor, I will put my Christian faith aside and deal with you, then pick it up. That one has watched movie. He has watched RMD. You have watched them Stallone. What's the name of this that popular guy? How am I doing like I don't know the name? I know his name, I understand. It's not by not knowing the name. Some of you now, you want to respond. You know the name. You know the name and the sounding. If one pastor says, I want to watch it, you know the name. So if you can watch movies, you watch movies. You will watch movies for Africa. You watch movie 5 times. The 6th time you watch it, you cannot even remember what you watched 5 times. That's a waste of your time. That's why when something happens, the first thing, when somebody is trying to pass your window, the first thing you're thinking about is what movie have I watched and how they protected the window. You're afraid, you're scared. So you don't need to be in vogue. You don't need to be, you know, in you are just, you know everything that's happening. Guard your heart. Look at what Matthew 6 says while I close this morning. Matthew chapter 6. What is chapter 6? Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. So you tackle your thoughts by saying. You tackle your thoughts. So you have thoughts about something bad happening. You tackle it by saying. You tackle it by speaking. Yeah? When somebody gets you upset and you respond in the heat of the moment, and you respond with words you should not say, it goes as much to show the words you fill your heart with. So we say believers' authority, believers' victory. It's not just a casual thing. If someone in your office begins to operate under the influence of the devil, first, can you discern to even know that's the devil's operation? Can you discern? Or have you gotten yourself so used to the first number you are dialing for everything is 911? That's important. I was walking somewhere around here a couple of 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in the UK, in Prison Street. And somebody who was walking with me slumped. I don't know where the estate got to. Slump was not moving. Well, normally what's happening, everybody calls 911. And I walked towards her, knelt down towards her, and I laid my hands on her. And she came back. She came back stronger than she was before she came to work. Yeah? We practice these things. We practice these things. I could have said, you know, some of you, you will use the excuse of, you know, when they come to where they say, don't touch people anyhow. You some people say, you have the mind to pray for someone that is sick. You say, nah, let me tell you, in my experiences of growing up evangelism, most people who have asked to pray for them reject with sickness. You are clearly with sickness and can get you healed now. They reject. But I don't, because that's the slant in this environment, stop asking people to pray for them. I'm a man of joy. I'm full of power. You finish, you're full of power. You go back home. You eat, you eat whatever, beans, curry, everything together. Everything together. You sleep, you snore, you wake up on Monday morning. You go, just approach to Shepherd, God, Father God. As I step out today, the Lord is with me. And that's your last prayer for the next Monday. That's what some of you pray for the week. I cover this week. You on Monday, you pray for the week. So that you've covered your prayer points for the week. This week, I cover. Yes, you can say this week. I'll go on a Tuesday and say this day. Speak about it. Speak God's word. You cannot speak what you don't have. You can't speak what you don't have. You can't speak what you don't have. You can't speak what you don't have. You know all the restaurants in Edinburgh. You know all the restaurants in Livingston. You know all the showroom for cars in Glasgow. You know everywhere in the UK. When it comes to approaching life, what do you have? What have you fed your heart with? So I'm saying to you, dear members, gospel, you know, you can make up and say every week I'll listen to one message outside Wednesday and Sunday message. No, you can't regulate your life to Sunday and Wednesday alone. You can't. You can't, rather. You can listen to a message, listen to two messages, listen to three messages, listen to yourself, teachers from the church, listen for yourself. Sometimes you listen. See, there are times when I listen and I don't take notes, and there are times when I listen to take notes. You must have those experiences in your life. Because I have those experiences in your life. I'm going to end in Matthew 12, 34. Or let me just end in Proverbs 24, 10. What does Proverbs 24:10, what does it say? Let's read together as a church. 1, 2, 3, go. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Are we together? Thy strength is small. Thy strength is small. It's not when you have a big log of wood you want to carry, you now say, let me quickly go to the gym and go and work out. Do you understand? You should have God's word on your lips. You should always remind yourself, I'm born again, I'm righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no dominion over me, right? You remind yourself, I'm powerful, I'm full of power. I have God's direction, I have God's leading. I'm not stranded. You can remind yourself of this every morning, afternoon, evening. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. I always tell you, let it be that the most difficult situation finds you in the place of faith. That means you're always talking. You get to work and they tell you that your salary, they are doing redundancy. Right? And you can say to yourself, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. When you finish, oh no, you remind find yourself born again and victorious. A job or no job does not determine my joy. I'm full of joy, I'm full of his power, I'm full of his spirit. I don't allow things to determine my joy. I don't allow things to determine, you know, I don't allow my circumstances around me to determine how I will respond. No, there are times, there are things that will be very terrible will be done or happen to you. Yes, I'm not saying you will not feel bad. There's some things that will hurt you. Feel bad, but no, don't stay there for too long. Don't stay there for too long. It's not about falling. It's about falling and ensuring you don't stay on the ground. You ensure you feed your strength. You feed your strength. You feed your strength. Some people start working for summer body for the next year from the previous year. In 2025, this is how my body wants to be. You start. You don't grow muscles from there. You don't grow it by laying on of hands. Let me tell you something. I can lay hands on you every day from now to the end of the year. You have a role to play. You have to keep God's word on your lips. If words are spoken to you, you take those words to war and you fight. You ensure you give yourself to the word. You ensure don't give in for anything ridiculous. If you find yourself that for every little thing that agitates you, it means you're not spending a lot of time in the word. If your first response to things is fear, you're not spending a lot of time in the word. If your first response to things is insult, you're not spending a lot of time in the word. That's not sick. People will insult you. People will do ridiculous things around you. No. What about staying with the word? What about staying with the right words? What about staying with the Bible? You come from believers' meeting like this, the word spoken over you. You know, some of you in the believers' meeting, somebody would have told you, right, God said to you that you are going through this and you are going through that, but he's going to see you through the journey. Why don't you leave the door? I know God is with me. I know this challenge will not swallow me. I know that I am born victorious. I know I am born a winner. I'm not allow these activities, this challenge to get into my heart. I'm not allow this to get the best of my heart. I'll keep speaking the word. You know, there's a man called Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. You know, he says, if you stick with the word, you come back with a testimony. If you stick with the word, just stay with it. Stay with it to the very end. Stick with it to the very end. Stay with it to the very end. Don't allow anything to shake you. Keep your heart well with it. Read your Bible. Pray. Read your Bible. Pray. Some of us is when we hear bad news, we start praying to God. That's when you know you can pray for 4 hours. Your uncle is in the hospital. What happened to praying 4 hours before then? What happened to disciplining yourself? Some of you, yes, I understand you can start for 5 minutes, but don't be in the Christian faith for 5 minutes in a church like this. And after 10 years, you are still only 5 minutes a day by day. Increase your time. Increase your time. Yes, everybody gets busy. You understand that I'm busy as well. But even in my busy schedule, I ensure I have time for the word. It can be as much as you are traveling. It can be as much as you are going on a train. It can be as much as you are going to the bus stop. It might be as much as you are cooking. Anything in the house, you are talking in tongues. Then you have different times as well to speak in tongues deliberately, intentionally. Sometimes I go to my gym, the gym in my house. I just close the door. I just play music. I just spend time praying. It's important. I take walks sometimes. I put God's word on my lips. I keep saying the word. Joshua, you will not fail. What God has placed in your hands will not sleep. It will not die. I keep saying that to myself. I guess you need the word for yourself. You need the word for yourself. So, I'm speaking to you, dear saints. Make up your mind. Get busy in the word. See, if you need to delete your social media, do that quickly. You don't owe anybody. You're not that important, really. If you've not told me before, I'm telling you. Oh, if I'm not here, people will not be okay. That's not true. They'll be all right. Get yourself rooted in the word. Stay with the word is important. That's the emphasis of stay. Stay with the word. If you don't stay with the word, you will not have the right words when challenges come. And I put it to you for free. Challenges must come. You don't pray with challenges. No, you can't. You don't pray it away. This will happen. What is your heart? What is your slant? What is your heart? A few years ago, it was when my dad was preaching that he slumped on the altar. And from the next day, on the Wednesday evening, from the next day, Thursday morning, I picked up pastor and I'm doing that today. That is me. What put me through that? Nobody expects their dad to die at an early age like that. And they see it coming. They slumped in church and like that from there, that was the end. The last words I heard of him. And from then to today, see, it was not at that point I started studying and building myself on the word. No, I will not be a pastor. But I've been on that journey. Not on the journey expecting that one day I might end up being a pastor. No, I was just on the journey. Getting myself as a simple, serious believer. You don't know when your simple, serious devotion of today will help you. You don't know when it will help you. You don't know when it will help you. I beg you in God's name, God's palace. Feed on the word. Put a timetable in your calendar. Your calendar is not useless. Put a timetable. I must listen to the word 1 hour today. I must listen to the word 2 hours this week. You can split up a teaching of 130 minutes into 3 days. 30 minutes each. Listen to it. Pick up from there. Listen again. Pick up from there. Your notes you're writing in church is not to impress me. Go back to your notes. That's why some of you don't write as if they're signing. Some of you just write as if they're just signing, as if they're just signing a check. Write with the way you can read. You say you cannot read your writing. You are writing with the intention of going back to go and visit it. Oh, pastor taught today that I should pay attention to the word. What is my action on that? Yet you must know who you are. You must know what you carry. You must know who you are. I'm telling you, if you need to put your phone down, put it down. You need to hold your phone and let people reach out to you. You know that. You know I found out that see, there are people in the real sense that you don't need to speak to every day. That's the gospel honest truth. The people you don't need to speak to every day. I found out I was getting overly busy 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. I took out over 1,000 activities on my calendar. 1,000. Over 1,000 activities on my calendar. 1,000. So I found myself like, wait, I'm not listening to the word as much as I should. So what I'm teaching you is not only for you, it's for me as well. I'm not listening to the word as much as I should. You really ask me, 10 years ago, I was spending 6 hours listening to the word. 6 hours straight. I won't stand up for my seat. I'll keep myself 8 hours. I'm in the word, sitting down, learning, just studying, just hearing the word, listening. And I was a pastor. I didn't even smell being a pastor. When I was in school, I was not among those people that started fellowship, but I didn't do fellowship. None of it. I was just being a simple believer, devoted to the word. Yeah, I told you last week, my sister will ask me, how come you put your money in things? Things crash. And the next day you're in church, you're saying glory. It didn't start from that morning. There are weeks ahead. Sometimes I'll invest in things and things just go down the drain. The anointing I have is not that anything I invest will not. No, there are things that go down the drain. God, that men also have anointing. Yeah, you buy in forex. Another man that's anointed like you is selling. You and your next will meet on the table. Yeah, if you are the one that goes for it, or I'm the one that goes for it, let it be that I don't get depressed. Come to church, they say, what's happening? I know that's jovial. What happened to me? My mouth cannot say it. But let's just give praise to God. You say, let's do the real. That's how you are looking. No. Let God's word.